This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington, and happy Friday to you, November 20th, or Saturday morning the 21st, if you're catching the replay here on WGCL. Jim Inman here in the studio on your Friday night, and very glad that you're joining us for a very fun show. I can tell you in advance that this will be a fun discussion here in just a few minutes. The wonderful ladies from Butterball, at the Butterball Turkey Hotline, we have an interview that we recorded on Thursday afternoon and took some of the questions that were emailed to us and sent to us through the WGCL website. And thank you for all of those that came in. And you're going to be in for a treat in just a little bit. Our wonderful lady named Jan is going to be our guest on the show from the Butterball Turkey Hotline. As we get ready for Thanksgiving next week, we'll give you some turkey tips, some fun news, and just a variety of things. So I'm very glad that you have joined us here this evening as we start off into holiday season, locally, nationally, worldwide, whatever you want to call it kind of thing. Mr. Pillar's out this week, and we will be seeing him back, hopefully, the first part of December. The reason I say that is that next week with Thanksgiving, what we're going to do is a replay of this week's show and last week's interview with Julie Warren. So we will have a combined holiday experience show for Thanksgiving weekend as we take some time off to stuff ourselves with tryptophan meat, a.k.a. turkey. Also excited to say Short Show Fridays are over for a little bit, and we are going to now be getting into high school basketball here on WGCL. Schedule is up at WGCLradio.com. You can check that out when you click on the sports tab and go to the high school sports page. But high school boys basketball starts here on WGCL Friday, December 4th. And I'm pulling up the schedule because I forgot to look and see. Oh, wait, I've got it here in front of me. December 4th, Bloomington South at Bedford North Lawrence. Tip-off is at 7:30. We'll have a pregame show at 7 o'clock that Friday evening. So make sure that you check it out and stay tuned to WGCLradio.com for all of your information about that and much more. Also, I want to remind everybody, this is up on the WGCL website right now. The reminder to shop local this holiday season. There's all kinds of great ideas that you can be found in the stores here in Bloomington and in Monroe County. The hometown holiday shopping, you can get great smiles from your customers and from the retail world. So right now through December 13th, head over to WGCLradio.com and register to win a $50 gift card from one of the following businesses: Aqua Pro Pool and Spa, Carol's Unfinished Furniture out in Ellettsville, Hoosier Workwear Outlet, technology powered by Smithville, or Vance Music Center. There's only one entry per person, and once you're registered, you will automatically be qualified to win the grand prize, which is a $500 Visa gift card from WGCL. Now, who wouldn't like to have a little bit of extra holiday cash if it's $50 or $500 this holiday season? So check out WGCLradio.com, and when you are on the homepage, there is a rotating little slideshow kind of thing. Look for the click here to shop local for the holiday promotion, and that's also up on the podcast pages as well. But again, next week on the program, repeat of Julie Warren from last week's interview, talking about all the holiday events coming up in Bloomington and Monroe County over the next several weeks. And then an encore with our interview coming up in just a few minutes with the Butterball Turkey Hotline experts. We're going to take a break, though. When we come back, get you some local news and forecast for the weekend. And the S word has finally arrived just in time. Snow is in the forecast, ladies and gentlemen, and I am excited about it. I really am. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check it out over there. And also WGCLradio.com for not just this show, but Your Money with David Hayes, which follows us on Saturday morning. Glass in the Morning, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9. Joe Smith Reports, In the Zone. Everything you need on your local programming side is available at WGCLradio.com. We're going to take a break. Come back in just a couple minutes. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio, and in just a few minutes, the wonderful ladies from Butterball Turkey will be joining me to talk about all the stuff that you need to know for your Thanksgiving preparation. If you're doing it this weekend, if you're doing it on Thanksgiving Day, if you're doing it in the weekend after Thanksgiving and you're skipping all the shopping palooza, if you will, if you're not going to see Mr. Pillar up at Nordstrom like he talked about last week, that's fine. But the interview with Butterball will be great here, and it'll be just a few minutes before we get to that. Your forecast for the weekend, though, is a little bit chilly. Tonight, Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. On Saturday, get ready, break out the coats. Excuse me. A chance of rain and snow before 10 a.m., then a chance of rain between the late morning to the late afternoon, and then a chance of rain and snow again after 4 p.m. Cloudy with a high near 45, a little bit of wind coming in. Chance of precipitation right now is about 50%, and the amounts total between a tenth and a quarter of an inch. So no blizzard or anything like Denver saw in the last several days, but enough of the white stuff that, we're getting a little snow. I'm excited. Saturday night, 30% chance of snow before 7 p.m., low around 23, and then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 35. Early on next week, looks like the highs are going to be in the mid to upper 40s. So again, a light wrap, as Mr. Pillar calls it, is probably not going to be enough. You may need a little bit more as you venture out before Thanksgiving time. All your weather all the time right here on WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. The big news in the state, let me just backtrack one step. I'm not getting into the Indiana and the states that are or are not considering Syrian refugees. That is an ongoing debate, and that is something that we're just going to avoid that right now. The big news in the state of Indiana, though, this week was Jared Fogle's sentencing on Thursday. 15 years and 8 months in prison was announced for possession and distribution of child pornography and traveling across state lines for commercial sex with a minor. Judge Tanya Walton Pratt in the Indianapolis Star announced the sentence of the former Subway pitchman in federal court in Indianapolis. He was taken into custody of the U.S. Marshal after the 4-hour, 42-minute hearing on Thursday. He handcuffed behind his back, led out of the courtroom as family members hugged and cried. The sentence is more than the 12 and a half years the prosecutors agreed to seek in a plea deal. Pratt said the advisory sentence range from 135 to 168 months, quote, does not sufficiently account for the defendant's criminal conduct, end quote. Federal prisoners must serve at least 85% of their sentences, and the judge recommended that Fogle be sent to a prison in Littleton, Colorado, because of its program with sex offenders. The judge described Fogle at 38 as having a privileged upbringing before becoming obsessed with sex and minors. Pratt talked about Fogle's journey from being morbidly obese while at Indiana University to losing weight and being discovered by Subway. She believes Fogle is sincere in his remorse and took into account the $1.4 million in restitution he has paid to the victims. But again, 15 plus years for Jared Fogle in his sentencing on Thursday this week. Also in the local news around the area, some disturbing attacks in Bloomington and Monroe County. From the Herald Times, answering a knock on her Bloomington apartment door while doing laundry, a 22-year-old woman told police she was confronted by a tattooed man who forced her into a back bedroom at gunpoint and sexually assaulted her. The incident occurred on Tuesday. Woman says she did not know her attacker, and police could not say if the attack was random or if the woman was targeted. This occurred just after 3 o'clock in the morning in the 200 block of East 14th Street. Half hour later, Bloomington police were searching for the attacker as Indiana University sent its first alert message to students about the armed assault reported at Brownstone Terrace Apartments on the northwest side of campus. According to the Herald Times, the attacker might have known the woman, or she could have been targeted because her apartment lights and television were on in the early morning hours. Bloomington Police Department Captain Joe Qualter said, quote, we just don't know at this point. Also, it was the second incident of sexual assault since Friday last week. A 19-year-old IU student told police she was grabbed by two men as she walked west through the woods behind Bryan Hall on campus at about 1:30 in the morning on Friday. She said the suspects grabbed her inappropriately while attempting to drag her off the path and that one of the men held a sharp object to her throat and she escaped with minor injuries. Both cases remain under investigation and no arrests have been made. The other incident of mention this week in Bloomington was a 23-year-old man suffered a non-life-threatening injury to his shoulder in a shooting on Sunday night at Oakdale Square Apartments. Bloomington police were dispatched to reports of shots fired in the 2000 block of South Oakdale Drive just after 11 o'clock Sunday evening. The injured man told police a man displayed a handgun and fired several shots in the parking lot of the apartment complex. He initially reported he did not know the man who shot him and described him as a black man in his 20s. However, later on in the week, Bloomington police arrested an Indianapolis man on the attempted murder charge in connection with the shooting Sunday night. Investigators found 19-year-old Muhammad S. Ibrahim at his home in Indianapolis early Wednesday morning. He was arrested without incidents and taken to the Marion County Jail. The man who was shot later gave police a nickname for the man who shot him. Fort Wayne police provided Bloomington investigators with the full name associated with the nickname and the man's Indianapolis address. He had previously lived in the Fort Wayne area. Ibrahim told police he had intended on purchasing marijuana, but owed the man money from a previous drug buy. He reported he thought a gun was going to be pulled on him, so he pulled out his own semi-automatic handgun and shot. He's also facing robbery charges in Allen County, and a jury trial is scheduled for December of this year. What's also going on here in the local news? A positive note. Lee Hamilton, longtime congressman and statesman, is one of 17 people who will receive a Presidential Medal of Freedom from the White House, and that was announced on Monday this week. Hamilton served Indiana and the nation with distinction during a 34-year career in the U.S. House of Representatives. His district included Brown County, and for much of his time in Congress, parts of Monroe County as well. He has since retired from Congress and has been involved in a variety of efforts, including vice chairman of the 9/11 Commission and co-chairman of the Iraq Study Group. And through a founding of the Center on Congress at Indiana University, he's also been a leading advocate for bipartisanship and effective governance. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is the nation's highest civilian honor, and it's presented to individuals who have made especially meritorious contributions to the security or national interest of the United States, to world peace, or to cultural or other significant or private endeavors. Also on the local news scene this week, the Indiana Supreme Court will not consider an appeal from the man convicted of killing Bloomington resident and IU student Jill Bierman in the spring of 2000. In a unanimous order, the court has denied a request from John Myers II to review his murder conviction and also the 65-year prison sentence that he received for Bierman's slaying. The State Appeals Court and a Morgan County judge both have rejected arguments from Myers that he did not receive a fair trial because of mistakes by his defense attorney, Patrick Bauer, or Baker. Baker's law license was suspended for 6 months for misconduct surrounding the case. Myers' trial took place in Morgan County, where the body of Jill Bierman was found, and investigators believe the college student was shot to death. He is incarcerated at the Indiana State Prison in Michigan City, receiving that 65-year sentence with 2 days of credit for each served. His scheduled release date is April 7th, 2038, when he will be 62 years old. And I'm not going to have enough time to really get into it, but there was another meeting this week about the future of the current Bloomington Hospital, IU Health Bloomington Hospital location, and what the next steps will be for that. Some of the cost for keeping it just as an empty building could be $600,000 to $800,000, according to Lee Carmichael from Weddle Brothers Construction. There is discussion about demolishing the building. That would be between $6 and $8 million, including any funds recouped from reusable materials post-demolition. But the concern about doing that is that not only would there be the loss of the building for potential use, but also the extreme traffic congestion close to downtown. The new hospital is not expected to be open until at least 2020, so there's plenty of time to determine what the next steps will be, and we will let you know that as those committees working on that project share their information with the public. We're going to take a break, come back, and it's the highlight of the week. The Butterball Ladies will be on the show with me here in just a few minutes answering your questions and comments. So stay tuned right here on WGCL. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you, and very excited to have Jan Allen from the Butterball Turkey Hotline here on the show. And before I bring Jan onto the program, I just want to remind everybody of one thing. We are doing this show Friday, November 20th, and then this show is going to replay next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving as well. So as I mentioned earlier on, if you are doing Thanksgiving on the holiday, so to speak, you can take advice and everything that Jan's offering you as she talks about, you know, doing things a certain number of days ahead or what have you. If you're doing Thanksgiving the weekend after, or if you're doing Thanksgiving this Sunday, whatever the case may be, just take it with a grain of salt, think through things, and we will definitely give the Butterball Turkey hotline number. So if you have any questions, you can call and talk with Jan or one of the other wonderful ladies on the Butterball hotline, and they will get you fixed up on that. So just want to preface that as we get started here. But Jan, I'm so glad that you're joining us, and I think this is like our third or fourth year that you've been on the program with us.
Thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
How long have you been doing this now?
This is my 33rd year being on the Butterball Turkey talk line. So a good number of years now.
It absolutely is. And how many experts, if you will, are in your group, so to speak?
We have 47 home economists and dietitians and chefs answering the phone.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about how the talk line actually came to be, if you would.
Well, many years ago, they had a lot of questions every year at Thanksgiving time, and a lot of questions after Thanksgiving with people, you know, weren't happy with the results they were getting sometimes with how their turkey turned out.
Uh-huh.
So they decided, what can we do, you know, to be proactive on this? So they decided to offer a talk line service, and they hired 5 home economists to answer calls. And they sat in their kitchen at the headquarters and answered calls, and they thought, you know, they'd get some, but they had no idea that the phones would go crazy. It just, it was beyond anybody's expectations how many calls they'd get.
Sure.
So the next year, they hired 25 home economists and dietitians. So they went from 5 to 25 in 1 year to answer the calls, and that was so successful that they even hired more the following year, and they've kept it at about usually around 50 home economists and dietitians year after year.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to having the talk line number that people can call, they have a website, butterball.com, and they have lots of information there. So that's changed over the years since we started. And they also have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We have live chats. So things have really changed from when we first started.
That is awesome.
I don't think nobody would have ever thought about computers back in those days, because everything was manual.
Well, I'm very glad that all the options are out there, because as many people claim to know what they are doing when they want to cook a big turkey, I'm sure that, and judging from past years of our conversations and the interesting ways people like to thaw things out or try and cook them, I'm very glad that you've opened up the doors so people can communicate with you guys in a variety of ways.
Right. We want people to communicate however they're most comfortable communicating.
Well, let's get into the meat of it, and pun intended there. Let's talk a little bit about the defrosting of a turkey. What does Butterball recommend for defrosting a bird for Thanksgiving?
Well, the rule of thumb for thawing a turkey is 1 day in the refrigerator for every 4 pounds of turkey. So, for instance, if it's a 20-pound turkey, that's going to take 5 days to defrost. So you could start defrosting right now, you know, 6-7 days beforehand, because once it is defrosted, you can hold it another 3 to 4 days after it's defrosted.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a bind for time, you know, you didn't realize you were going to be the one entertaining to the last minute, or you just didn't get around to buying the turkey, you can still defrost it quickly in cold water. You would submerge it in cold water, changing the water every half hour, and it takes about a half hour per pound. So again, if you have a 20-pound turkey, it's going to take you about 10 hours to defrost it in cold water. Obviously, it's much easier to put it in the refrigerator in a tray and just leave it there for 5 days.
Sure.
Than to mess around with the water. But, you know, you can still get it defrosted safely by doing it in cold water.
Is there a simple way to test that a turkey is fully defrosted or fully thawed?
Not really, but when you kind of squish it and feel it, it's really very soft and pliable.
Okay.
When it's thawed. But you don't really know till you open the package.
And so you have your bird, it is thawed and ready to go into the oven, if you will. So what is the recommendation on doing a nice, moist turkey for Thanksgiving?
Well, after you take it to the to the sink, open the package, drain the juices, remove the neck and the giblets, and then stuff it if you desire, but you don't have to. And then put it in a shallow pan with a roast rack in the bottom of the pan because you don't want the turkey sitting on the bottom of the pan. And then brush the whole turkey with vegetable oil, and that'll keep it moist and juicy on the outside. And put it in your 325-degree oven and just leave it alone. Again, going with that 20-pound turkey that I was using as example, if you don't stuff it, that will take you about three and a half to 4 hours to roast at 325. The last hour or hour and a half, you'd want to put like a little foil tent over the breast so it doesn't over-brown, and it should come out just perfect. Recommend using a meat thermometer to know that it is done, and that should register 180 in the thigh. If you do decide to stuff it, it takes about an hour longer. Also would want to check the stuffing temperature with a thermometer, and that should register 165.
We're talking with Jan Allen from the Butterball Turkey Hotline and getting all the tips and things. Let's talk a little bit before cutting the turkey, if you will. Do you get? I know people do the deep fried turkey or barbecue with anything. What's done in the Jan Allen home?
Well, this year my daughter and husband are heading up about 4 hours north to Wisconsin to visit relatives. I'll be working here on Thanksgiving, so I can't go that far away.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be dining with my cousin in a different town. So my immediate family's not even dining together on Thanksgiving because of my work, but that's fine.
Sure. Well, how do you prefer your turkey then? Do you like, as you described, or have you ever done the deep fried or something else?
I've done deep fried, I've done smoked, I've done grilled, I've done in an oven roasting bag, in
oh, wow.
a covered roaster. I've done it in the microwave, I've done them all. My favorite is on the Weber charcoal grill. I like that the best. I like that nice charcoal flavor.
Making us hungry, Jan. We appreciate that very, very much. What's the key to getting that nice golden covering, that coating, if you will, on the outside of a turkey? Is that the vegetable oil that you mentioned?
Yes, the vegetable oil and not covering it.
And not covering it. Okay.
Because when you put the foil on it, it reflects the heat away and it doesn't get a nice golden brown. That's why you want to leave it uncovered most of the roasting time.
What is the timetable of the turkey being done, so to speak, out of the oven and the time for serving? How long should you wait between taking it out of the oven and putting it on a plate?
About 15 minutes is good, because that allows the juices to set up so that it'll carve nicely.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get nice slices that way. If you try to carve it the minute it comes out, it will kind of shred and fall apart. If the turkey is done and everybody's not there yet or other side dishes aren't done, you can keep the turkey hot up to 2 hours safely by covering it with heavy foil and some terry towels, and it will stay very hot up to 2 hours prior to carving.
Great. Good, good, good. We're going to take a break, Jan. Stay with us. When we come back, we've got some weird questions that have come in and some other things. And I know you get all kinds of crazy stuff as well, so I'm looking forward to hearing from that. And also want to learn more about this thing I heard about Throwback Thanksgiving that Butterball is sponsoring as well. So we're going to take a break with you, come back after the commercial break, and more with Jan Allen. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Benman here along with Jan Allen from the Butterball Turkey Hotline. And we will put all this information up on how to contact them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. And don't forget also, this interview is not only airing the weekend of November 20th and 21st, but also the weekend of November 27th and 28th, Thanksgiving weekend, if you will. So if you're having Thanksgiving after the holiday, so to speak, all the information is still good and valuable, but just watch your days, as we mentioned, so that you get things set out on the right day or time for thawing and things. One question that came into us, Jan, was how long does a frozen turkey last in a freezer before it needs to be cooked and eaten?
Well, that's kind of a vague question, but I would say it lasts indefinitely as far as safety.
Uh-huh.
It's never going to spoil in the freezer as long as there's no power failures.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the reason you don't want to store it too long is for quality. You'd want to use it within 6 to 7 months to get the best quality.
Okay.
If you do have them up to a year, because sometimes people buy them for one Thanksgiving and all of a sudden, you know, someone else invites them out, so they ended up not using it and forgot all about it, and all of a sudden, here it is, it's Thanksgiving, and I still have a turkey. That would be fine to use this Thanksgiving. Past that, you know, you get through Thanksgiving and Christmas and you haven't used it, I'd use it and I'd go ahead and roast it for a non-holiday meal where I'm not serving guests if it was mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it was a little drier or less flavorful, I'd use it in soups and casseroles with other moist ingredients, and then it should come out pretty good.
Okay.
But you don't want to try and keep it in there too long.
Sure, sure. I know that there are the three T's that Butterball talks about, thawing, temperature, and the two-hour rule. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, thawing, you want to make sure that, again, for every 4 pounds of turkey is one day in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure it's thawed, because if it's not thawed, it's not going to cook evenly. So you don't want to, you know, say, well, 3 days sounds like enough. If you have a 25-pound turkey, 3 days is not enough. You do need, you know, to allow longer.
Mm-hmm.
Temperature is very important. You do want to roast at 325 degrees. And you want the finished temperature of your thigh to be 180. And if you're doing just a breast, which some people do, that would be 170. And the two-hour rule is from the time it comes out till it's back in the refrigerator and carved should be no more than 2 hours, because after that, you know, bacteria can grow. So if you want to eat it again later for sandwiches, then that's fine. But put it away and take it back out. Don't just leave it on the counter all afternoon.
Okay. Another question that came in, this is a very basic one, but is there dark meat and light meat in turkey like there is in chicken?
Yes.
And what causes the difference? That was the question from one of our listeners.
It's just like on your own body, you know, how
okay.
different parts are different. It's just how the turkey's grown, and it's the legs and the thighs that are the dark meat. And
uh-huh.
I don't know if they're dark because they get more exercise because they move and run. And then the white meat is the breast and the wings.
Okay. Good, good, good. Let's talk a little bit about Butterball before I get one of your infamous funny call stories before we wrap up the interview here. How does someone reach out to the Butterball Turkey Hotline?
Well, this year we have done something really special. We've gone with a special theme of Throwback Thanksgiving. And no matter when you look back, Butterball's always been part of your Thanksgiving. We're right in the center of the plate, and we're always providing the best turkey advice to everybody, whether it be, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Butterball.com. And this year, we're bringing the past to the present by opening the Butterball archives and bringing out our favorite recipes from the past, memories of the Turkey Talk Line calls. And we want the callers and our customers to share their throwback Thanksgiving memories with us as well. And so we're asking them to submit photos or recipes, and they can do that on Butterball.com or Facebook or Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a contest, and there's some wonderful prizes for the winners. So I would encourage everybody to participate. And the pictures don't have to be, you know, 40 or 50 years old. They can be 3 or 4 years old. But anything you have and would like to share would be great. And it's been really fun looking through some of these things remembering the great holidays that we've had.
And can people reach out through social media, Facebook and Twitter, and ask questions to the Butterball Turkey Hotline, so to speak?
Yes, we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, even doing live chats today.
Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. But if they want to pick up a phone and dial in, what is the call-in number, Jan?
It's so easy. They don't even need to write it down. It's 1-800-BUTTERBALL.
Okay. Great. Good, good, good. And you don't only help with just the turkey experience, but you have people that call in about side dish questions and a variety of things, right?
Right, we'll help them too, but our expertise obviously is the turkey.
Sure.
Because that's what we're here for. And that is the main dish. That, you know, that the rest of it, you know, if you mess up on the sweet potatoes, people aren't going to be too concerned, because you've got mashed potatoes and you've got gravy and you've got probably two or three kinds of vegetables and salad and everything else. But if you mess up the turkey, they get kind of disappointed.
Yeah,
so.
People will be walking out of the house for sure. So you and your wonderful team, I know that you get all kinds of interesting calls and questions throughout the holiday season. Can you share one of the more memorable ones that you've had personally?
Well, one of my favorite ones last year was somebody called, and he was telling me that his wife was carrying the turkey into the dining room. She had it on a platter, was all garnished beautifully, and she tripped.
Oh, no.
And the turkey fell on the floor.
Uh-huh.
So, and he thought real quick, and I was impressed because I won't think I would have been this clever. He said, oh, Martha, don't worry about it. We'll get the other turkey. So he helped her pick it up. They went into the kitchen. Of course, there was no other turkey, but they got a new platter out and regarnished it and brought it all out again. I thought, that was pretty clever.
That is good.
You know, what are you going to do when your turkey falls on the floor?
Well, I think there's a 5-second rule that most people at least throw out, but I don't know if it always is really that effective. That is a good idea, though. If it falls on the floor, well, we're just going to go get the other one, the backup turkey. Oh, that is great. Jan Allen has been our guest from the Butterball Turkey Hotline. Again, 1-800-BUTTERBALL for calling in with questions. How long does the Butterball Turkey Hotline go through? I mean, does it go beyond Thanksgiving weekend?
Yes, we're here through Christmas Eve. I think we're here till like 3 p.m. Central Standard Time on Christmas Eve.
Great. Okay. Well, all the information, the Instagram and Twitter, we'll put that up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, as well as the phone number. Jan, hope you have a great holiday. I'm sorry that you have to work next Thursday, but maybe somebody will bring in some turkey on a platter to share with everyone. I don't know how that works, but hopefully something good.
Well, that's funny that you say that because there is no turkey here on Thanksgiving because we all go home to our own turkey dinners either at our home or we're a guest in someone else's home.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no turkey here on Thanksgiving.
All righty. All right.
But we'll all be eating Thanksgiving turkey somewhere and enjoying that butterball turkey.
Good. That is wonderful. Well, like I said at the beginning, you've been on the last 2 or 3 years at least. I appreciate it so much and look forward to talking with you again next year.
Well, thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jan. All the best to you and your family as well. We're going to take a break, folks. Come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Oh, what fun, what fun. Glad to have the Butterball ladies here on the show. Let's talk some sports, though. No high school football tonight. We're going to regular programming for this week. Next week will be special because of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And then we get into high school football. Hard to believe. I did it again. Mr. Pillar, I know you're listening and called me out on it. High school boys basketball will be here on WGCL starting on Friday, December 4th. It is Bloomington High School South at Bedford North Lawrence for that game. All of that information is available at WGCLradio.com. Click on the sports tab and go to high school sports, and they will have the schedule right there for you. On the NFL side of things, though, with Thanksgiving coming up, let's give you what's going to be available here on WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. This weekend, Sunday, starting at 12 o'clock, the Colts at the Falcons for that game. Matt Hasselbeck will be quarterbacking for the Colts on that one. Then Sunday evening at 7:30 here on WGCL, Kansas City Chiefs take on the Chargers. They're headed out there. Monday Night Football, the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots, 7:45 for that. Then Thanksgiving Day, if you need to get away from the turkey, grab your smartphone, grab your tablet, whatever you've got, plug in your headphones, go to WGCLRadio.com because this is going to be available for streaming for you there. 12 o'clock, it's the Eagles at the Lions. 4 o'clock, it's the Panthers at the Dallas Cowboys. And then at 8 o'clock on Thanksgiving night, the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. So plenty of NFL coverage for you on Thanksgiving Day here on WGCL. And again, we've got all of your coverage for NFL action Mondays, Thursdays, Sundays, what have you, all the way up to Super Bowl weekend on February 7th. So make sure that you check that out. Kudos going out to, get my pages flipped here, the Bloomington South Swimmers. They snapped a 19-year drought against Center Grove. For the first time since girls swimming was moved to a winter sport back in 1996, which doesn't sound that long ago, but that was 2 years after I graduated from high school, the Bloomington South Panthers broke the ice with a decisive 111-75 win at home over the Trojans Tuesday this week. They took every event but diving and the 200 medley relay. Four outstanding freshmen made a splash in their debuts. Phoebe Rensick won the 200 individual medal and 100 breaststroke. Annie Levy won the 500 free. And Emily Long, my little friend, Dr. Jared and Dr. Angie's daughter, took the 100 butterfly and was runner-up in the 200 IM. Also, shout-out to Katie Holman, second in the 500 free and third in the 200. South Relays posted a time of 1 minute 42 for the 200 free, 3:50 for the 400 free, and 2 minutes just a hair over for the medley. So congrats to South coach Phil Cole on that, and a special shout out to Emily Long as well. What else have we got going on coming up here? IU football this weekend. They are at Maryland. No more home games here in Bloomington. Hoosier football is 4-6 total, 0-6 in conference play. And if you listen to Dave and Glass earlier this week talking about this game, there's a chance for a Hoosier win this weekend, and boy, do we need it. Maryland is 2-8 in overall, and they are also 0-6 in conference play. That game is taking place Saturday at noon in Maryland. Then the last game for our IU Hoosiers on the football field takes place on November 28th, up in West Lafayette at Purdue. It's the Oaken Bucket game for that one. So hopefully we can see at least one more win and at least get one in for conference play this season. On the men's basketball side, played Creighton on Thursday night. Next game is going to be out in the lovely state of Hawaii. It's the Maui Classic, Monday the 23rd, 5 p.m. for that game. And then on Tuesday the 24th, playing St. John's Vanderbilt. Time to be determined as of right now, looking at either 2:30 in the afternoon or 7 o'clock at night. And then depending on how the schedule shakes out and wins and everything, there's a potential third game taking place on November 25th. And also, speaking of IU men's basketball, another shout-out tonight, Friday night the 20th, Quinn Buckner will be inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame. If you recall, if you've been in Bloomington for any length of time or have followed IU men's basketball, he was the captain of the 1976 team that won the NCAA championship with an undefeated season. He was one of four starters who became a first-round draft pick that year. And just a phenomenal guy. I've never had the chance to meet him, but heard great things about him. The article from Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith said, quote, he was good enough to make the seventh pick of the 1976 NBA draft, though. Despite his kind of not-so-stellar statistics, he was averaging about 10 points on a 43% shooting for his career, and he didn't even hit 60% on foul shots. But what he was at 1976, he was a stout defender, he was a leader and a mentor, and he was a great liaison, Mark Monteith writes for Pacers.com, he was a great liaison between a coach and players. He knew what Bobby Knight wanted done, he knew how to communicate that to his teammates, and knew his role in the bigger picture. So congratulations to Quinn Buckner for that acknowledgement and recognition for the College Basketball Hall of Fame. I think that's about it on the sports side. I thought there was one more. Again, kind of unsure if there's any more updates on Andrew Luck. Nothing really has been coming out about that. From NFL.com, all-season Indianapolis Colts coach Chuck Pagano has insisted he would keep 32-year-old running back Frank Gore on a pitch count with a 40-year-old Matt Hasselbeck set to start under center the next few weeks. And the Colts could ditch the snap restrictions. In the last contest, Gore rushed 28 times for 83 yards in that win over the Denver Broncos. And the last time Hasselbeck filled in as quarterback, Gore had 22 carries for 98 yards, the most hit this season. So hopefully we will see some positive things with Hasselbeck. Lots of discussion about Peyton Manning and his record-setting weekend, and then announcing a foot injury that he is struggling with right now. And I think I read or heard last week or the week before that Peyton is number two on the age list right behind Hasselbeck. So hopefully Peyton is taking care of himself and does well in the coming days and weeks. We're going to take a break, come back, and wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Music. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the program, and thanks so much once again to Jan and all the ladies at the Butterball Turkey Hotline. Again, 1-800-BUTTERBALL is the telephone number if you need any kind of assistance. Yes, as we mentioned, it is primarily on the turkey side, but if you've got questions about the sides or something about carving or anything, Jan Allen and the wonderful ladies there can definitely give you some good advice. And love the story about the second turkey. And keep that in mind if you're a little bit concerned about what's going to happen this year. Worst case, you've got two turkeys and plenty for leftovers. And if you've seen A Christmas Story, you know, the Bumpus Hounds love their turkey as well. Forecast for the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, mostly cloudy tonight, Friday night, low around 36. Saturday, a chance of rain and snow before 10 in the morning, and then a chance of rain throughout the day. Looking for another round of potential white stuff coming down after 4 p.m. Saturday afternoon. Cloudy with a high near 45, and then on Saturday night, 30% chance of snow before 7 p.m., low around 23. Sunday, sunny with a high near 35, and the forecast early next week as we head to Thanksgiving, highs in the upper 40s. All your weather all the time at WGCL Radio and WGCLradio.com. Don't forget to shop local with Thanksgiving next weekend. If you're going to go shop on Thursday, yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but what have you. Black Friday, though, the day after Thanksgiving, all kinds of craziness going on and shenanigans. Be careful, be safe. Say hello to Mr. Pillar if you're at Nordstrom up in Indianapolis. Saturday after Thanksgiving is Small Business Saturday. That's the day where you can really make an impact on local businesses in Bloomington and Monroe County. So get out there and help make a difference there. And then Cyber Monday, the week after, there's all kinds of online deals there. It's just craziness, the shopping experience that will occur those 4 or 5 days between Thanksgiving and the first part of December. Don't forget WGCLradio.com. They've got the Shop Local experience. Now through December 13th, you can register to win a $50 gift card to one of the following businesses: AquaPro Pool and Spa, Carol's Unfinished Furniture, Hoosier Workwear Outlet, Technology Powered by Smithville, or Vance Music Center. There's one entry per person, and then each entry automatically qualifies the entrant to win the grand prize, a $500 Visa gift card from WGCL. Again, you got to get in by December 13th, WGCLradio.com. This weekend in Bloomington and Monroe County, very quickly, the Holiday House Craft Show. Friday, well, it's over for today, but Saturday 10 to 4 at the Monroe County Convention Center. It's a 30-plus year tradition. All kinds of crafts and gifts in a boutique environment at the Convention Center. Free entry for that. And then on Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 7 p.m., Buyer and Seller at the John Waldron's Arts Center. It's a play about an out-of-work actor scoring a job in Barbara Streisand's basement and all the kinds of shenanigans that go on there. And then Hairbanger's Ball, Mr. Pillar's favorite. See, that is tonight, Friday night, at the Bluebird. $6 cover charge for that starts at 9 p.m. So if you need to get a little 80s rock and roll, that is the place to do it. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. That's where all the information is going to be for the Butterball Turkey Hotline. Again, 1-800-BUTTERBALL. We'll also put that up on the podcast page, WGCLradio.com. Next week on the show, we will be airing the Butterball interview from this week, and we will also have Julie Warren's interview from last week about all the fun things that are taking place around Bloomington and Monroe County. We won't talk to you before. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. A shout out to my mother and sister on their birthday weekend this weekend. And everybody stay safe and watch out for the snow. It's coming. Have a great one, everybody. Bye-bye.